This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, we're going to hear from representatives of the organizing committees that are bidding to host a new four-star event in the US. Later on in the program, Carla Geiersbach and Terry Hasseltine will tell us about the Fair Hill bid, but we begin with Rob Banner, who is president of the Great Meadow Foundation in Virginia, and he joins us now. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, this is a big opportunity for Great Meadow to further its ambitions, I'm sure, as a venue for eventing in order to host the top of the sport here, a four-star event. It's not the only one in the country that's doing this, but we want to hear your story. So why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about Great Meadow for those who have not been there yet?
Well, of course, it is a huge opportunity. We're growing a concept that was begun in 1982. Here with the founder, Nick Arundel, buying Fleming Farm that was a bankrupt, failed dairy farm on the courthouse steps to be the permanent home of the Virginia Gold Cup steeplechases. He went about making it a marvelous turf course from the very beginning. There are 17 miles of irrigated tiling underneath the turf today that drain it to a central water complex. And we have aerated and mowed and seeded and fertilized for 30 years, irrigated through four different ponds and water reels on the course for all of that time. So it really has become a beautiful, lush footing for steeplechasing and now eventing. So we host some 40 events throughout the year that draw some 200,000 people through the gates, including two race meets, some polo on every Saturday evening in the arena, a show jumping series of four events, wine festivals, a 4th of July fireworks program that brings 25,000 people to the gates, as well as a lot of foot races and rocketry events. And so it became a natural when the Arundel family put the adjoining property on the market for us to buy the rest of Fleming Farm, that I had a lot of wealthy friends who would love to see us preserve more open space, because that is, in fact, our mission as a 501c3. And but I wanted to do it with a business purpose in mind. And at that point, that's when I picked up the phone and, not knowing the slightest clue how to get this done, asked David O'Connor if he could help me bring a four-star event to Great Meadow, because I knew that to ask the money of all of these wealthy people would have to have a good spectator-based program. And he said, and that was 2013. And he said, well, it's maybe a little too early for the four-star thing, but he said, how about a Nations Cup? And I said, well, that would be fine. That would be great. I would love to do that. That would get us going in a three-star, and that would bring international competition here rather than us always having to go to Europe to find the various teams that beat us on a regular basis abroad. And so we would get to see that. So that's how it all started. That's where we are at this point, now bidding for that four-star event.
So taking us forward then, Rob, that was the history behind it. And at this point, what is the timing then to process this four-star bid? And, you know, what does that look like for you in the schedule that you already have of all those events? And what time of year, what can we look forward to?
Well, as you know, our event, the Nations Cup this year, is July the 7th through the 9th. And the bid for the four-star would be sometime in the fall of 2019. So I think that would fit Well, for us, it would probably be just prior to the running of the fall race meet. And with this new property, it would put at least 50% of the competition on land dedicated for the eventing discipline alone. And of course, that is in fact where a new $1 million arena has been built. And that arena will have a water complex associated with it. So this has already been built, and it's already been put into play last year. And it's 300 by 250, and the warm-up is 400 by 100, and the warm-up is about 8 feet above the main arena, so you can always be looking down into the main arena to see what's going on, and then the water complex is 8 feet below the main arena. The arena is surrounded by berms, so that everybody, no matter where you are, has a view of the arena from up above looking down into that. So we can actually go up with major scaffolding for bleachers if we're accommodating large crowds. Not a lot of people know, we were selected by the Washington 2024 committee that was trying to bring the Olympic Games to Washington as the site for equestrian. That they had heard the plans that we were putting in place and building then, and that they knew that if they got their bid, they would need a nice place, and this would be it. The berms were designed on a model that I had seen in Atlanta at the games there, where there was a nice large arena and a depression surrounded by berms and big flat areas on top. And then they just put major scaffolding around those the arena itself. So on those big flat areas, the scaffolding just went up to the sky. And I'm sitting here looking at a picture right now. They have to be hosting at least 25,000 to 30,000 people around that arena right now. So these were the things that we put into motion for the future, and it's wrapped with three-phase power, which is enough to light a small city. It has conduit around the arena and down through the middle of the arena for TV, and so that you can hook into it in the middle of the arena without having to bury cable. There's just a lot of facility. We have irrigation ponds surrounding the area to bring water in, and we have an irrigation system that will ensure that for that period, whether it's early July or early fall, the course will be suitable for world-class competition.
And in terms of the course itself, going from 3-star for a Nations Cup up to 4-star, what does that involve for you in terms of infrastructure and course design, course building, really, and the resources that you'll need to take it to the next level, Rob?
Mike Etherington-Smith is the course designer. When we showed him the property before any of this had actually begun, he thought, what a wonderful palette for world-class competition. And not only is the race course itself perfect after 30 years of preparation, but the new land on Fleming Farm is the exact same, but now with terrain all around it, so that there is water, there are hills, there are drops, there are trees, there's a forest right in the middle of it that the track will go around, that is really clear in the middle, so people can find respite in that little forest, and we'll put a road all the way around it, so people can just go around the road to see the various complexes. With the combination of the new property and the race course, we'll have more than enough room to have multiple courses and changes every year to accommodate a test that hopefully will make our horses and riders better, and show us what the world offers in that same regard.
So it's a very exciting time for you then, as you obviously have now submitted this bid. When do you think you will know what the outcome of that will be and the decision will be made?
Well, the selection committee evaluated five in the beginning and left just Fairhill and Great Meadow. They returned to each site to visit with a series of seven questions that were pertinent to running an event of this quality, and then they'll reflect on the answers that both groups have given, and maybe make their decision soon. I would think that they will probably discuss it at the USC meeting in mid-June, and so soon, and hopefully this summer they'll announce a decision, but. I think we're ready. I wouldn't give my chances up for the world. I've got a lot of reasons why I think we're suited, and I think it's important to note that we already bring sort of more than 200,000 people through the gates that were in between two major four-lane highways. We're about a mile from I-66. And no more than a few hundred yards from I-17, both four-lane highways that we have been bringing in people in and out of Great Meadow every year, all year. And so we have road access and parking for lots of cars, and we know how to bring them in. The county is willing to close the roads to accommodate egress and ingress that accommodates large crowds at one time, so they can close a southbound road to northbound traffic so that they we can stream traffic back to the highway or from the highway. We have a lot of private contributions that come to Great Meadow. We've raised more than $4 million to buy this land and to build the property, and all of this is done privately without any government support whatsoever. So the community really wants this. That community is huge. Not only are we just 50 minutes from Washington Metropolitan Market, but Dulles Airport is 30 minutes away, and the surrounding area of Middleburg has been horse country for more than 200 years. We have 15 fox hunts that surround us, countless steeplechases and point-to-points. The oldest hunter-jumper horse show in America is at Upperville, just minutes away. There is a community of volunteers that come from the fox hunting community that is ready to run us over. They're so thrilled that this is happening. So to be centered right in the heart of horse country is a phenomenal asset to us anyway, just having a ready-made spectator base. And why in our first year, we probably drew 15,000 people in our first year. And so it was a very popular support, both financially and from the spectator base. The 30 years of footing that we've been maintaining is made a groomed course, the new arena that's already built and operating. The irrigation system is profound. We're already running that Nations Cup. We're actually bringing an equine quarantine center to Dulles, that when I knew that we were bringing in international horses, I thought, wow, nobody really wants to end up in Queens, and all those horses are going to have to go through JFK. So I approached the people at the ARC that built the new biosecure and very effective, efficient quarantine center at JFK, and they offered to build the exact same model here at Dulles Airport. And Dulles is anxious, and they see no reason why not to march ahead and have 14 to 20 acres allocated to 50 stalls that would bring horses directly from Amsterdam or the UK. We've analyzed through the various counties more than 29,000 hotel rooms within a 40-mile radius, and that's a lot of accommodation. The fact is, we're a 501c3, and with a run by an 11-member board, that the bylaws prohibit the land from ever being sold, and that in fact, if it for some reason ever was sold, it all is in easement, so it'll always be open space forever. We've just improved cell service here by installing a brand new Verizon cell tower on the property. It's an 85-foot tower that will host Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint, that we've got line of sight to internet connectivity that downloads about 750 megabits a second. So that's more than enough to run eight cameras to pipe it to NBC Sports. And the fact is we're surrounded by wineries. There must be 20 in the immediate area. That there are countless battlefields. The Middleburg territory to drive around is a benediction from God. And you're just minutes from Washington, D.C. So if you were coming to an area to watch the competition, you might take a few minutes and go to the National Sporting Library, or you might go to Middleburg to kick around, or you might go to a winery to do some tasting, or even to D.C. to see what's there. And those things make us very unique. I think it would be hard to find a better place to hold a four-star event.
Well, we certainly look forward to the decision being made this summer, Rob, and I want to thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and telling us what you have in mind there at Great Meadow for the new four-star event. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. We're thrilled for the pleasure and the opportunity to provide and help. So thanks for the interview.
Carla Geiersbach is the executive director of Fairhill International in Maryland, which is well established as a three-star event. So I began by asking Carla what changes would have to be made in order to host a four-star event.
The biggest change is we are changing our location. For anyone who's been here to the three-star, they will know that the Gallagher Road location is where we've been hosting it for almost the last 30 years. And it is an absolutely phenomenal piece of land, a beautiful cross-country course, but it does have its challenges. We have to build a city every year. There is absolutely 100% no infrastructure over there, and that presents some challenges. So I'm sure Terry talked you through a little bit about the Maryland Horse Park system and the changes that are going to be coming to the steeplechase side of the world, for lack of a better word, steeplechase side of Fairhill. We have been part of that Horse Park System Task Force and have worked with the other groups and are all very excited about being able to share the piece of property that will have the improvements over on this side with the improved grandstands, the redesigned race course with the irrigation, the pedestrian tunnels under 273 to facilitate flow of spectators. So that's the big thing. We would move over to this side of the property. The piece that what I think eventers really want to know is, well, what's your course going to be like? Are you going to just be using the steeplechase track? Are you just going to be using the timber course? Is this going to be a twisty, turny, windy cross-country course? And the answer to that is no. Fairhill has always been known for gorgeous terrain, very traditional heart and soul eventing, long gallops, beautiful terrain, and we are maintaining that even when we come to, quote-unquote, this side of the world. The piece that's fantastic is we would be able to use the new grandstands, and our spectators would be able to see probably about 50% of the cross-country course from those grandstands. So we would be able to welcome new folks to the sport who maybe aren't ready to do that four-mile walk or don't really know what to expect. So we would use the timber racing course along with the steeplechase course. Then for those of folks who harken back to the old days, we would then continue back behind the kennels on what was the old roads and tracks course that would take us all the way out into the sawmill field, which is where our recognized horse trials are held throughout the year and where the young event horse is competed on Friday during October. So it is a very visible course, but it is also keeping the heart and soul of eventing with those long gallops, beautiful terrain, and going through area that many eventers know, but know from either different events here or, like I said, from the old days of long course with the roads and tracks.
Now, in terms of the acreage then, Carla, now that you have shifted to another piece of turf, how many acres will be available for the four-star?
That's a great question. I don't know what the acreage is over here. I know that we have absolutely no trouble meeting the you know, four-mile distance for the four-star course. There is certainly plenty of terrain over over on this side. The one thing that this side has that the other side does not, in addition to the newly redesigned grandstands and that sort of thing, we'll have infrastructure, meaning that you can flip a switch and lights will go on and we will have water, and we'll use the existing race barns for stabling. We won't need to be in our stabling field anymore, that sort of thing. So it will be a much more...
a more permanent venue.
Exactly. And then the other piece of that, Chris, that's a real... real exciting thing for us is we will be able to live stream from this side of the world. I have struggled for 2.5 years to figure out how to live stream over on the Gallagher site and have not been able to work it out yet. So that is something that we're really looking forward to being able to do in the new location.
This will be very luxurious for those that have been involved with the event for so long then, to have this infrastructure so permanent and of resources that you haven't had before. And obviously, you'll be able to offer, as you say, the visitors, the competitors, a lot more than you have had in the past. And of course, one, as you said earlier, one of the things the eventers are going to want to know is about the course. Can you name the course designer for us at this point in the bid?
Well, this is one of those things. Derek DeGracia has been our designer for ages. We are very, very happy with him. We love his courses. The competitors love his courses. This is where we're going to have to look to the USEF for guidance because, as everyone knows, Derek also does a Kentucky's course. So that is something that we will look to the USEF for guidance because I think a lot of people wonder if there are 2 4-stars in the same country, would the USEF want the same designer? And that is something that we're just going to have to look to them. I have had conversations with them about regulations, and there is certainly no regulation that says that the same designer cannot do more than one course in a country. So, I don't have an answer for you on that because it's almost a little bit out of our hands as far as what the Federation would permit.
Now, you mentioned that, of course, you'll have access to the permanent stabling there, which I'm sure any rider who's thinking 4-star in the fall in this country, this is going to be very appealing to them, knowing Fair Hill. How many barns do you have? How many stalls do you have there altogether?
We have 119 now. There will obviously be room for additional temporary stabling, but on pads. You know, so a little bit different from what folks are used to in our current stabling field, where we are not allowed to put in pads because it's a green site space. So I think the one thing that will really ring true for the folks thinking about this new venue is it's so accessible. Within the park and without, there are already gravel roads built all the way through Sawmill. So it would be very easy to shuttle not only officials but spectators out to the start box or the vet box. You know that Fair Hill, I've heard, sometimes gets wet. So having just those sorts of pieces of infrastructure mean that it sort of does produce a different feel for the event because it is so much more accessible. The location for the roads and tracks course behind the kennels is not only accessible from internal roads from the fairgrounds, but is also accessible from Big Elk Chapel Road. You know, so it opens up possibilities of, again, welcoming new fans to the sport and being able to get them to locations throughout the course that make it more accessible without them having to commit to the rain boots and the walking 4 miles. You know what I mean? So it's really exciting for us because I think it means that more folks will see more of our course, whether that be from the grandstands or from the infrastructure that's already within place that we can shuttle people out to different locations.
Well, you know that the first question we've answered with regard to stabling for the horses, that's the first question from our audience here. And the second question, of course, would be their accommodation. Where can the riders and the teams be expect to be accommodated?
As far as
on the grounds.
On site?
Yes.
There will be additional camping pads put in with the fairgrounds area, and having the electric and water and things over there, in addition to being partnered with the Maryland Sports Commission and Populous, the equine architects, we are now aware of and have access to a lot of temporary building ideas that I simply didn't know existed, sort of out of my bailiwick of knowledge. But what's been so fantastic about the group that's been assembled to work on this proposal is there are folks out there who that is their job, to know how to bring temporary infrastructure to spots, to bring in a rider's lounge, to bring in an official's an official's office that's more than just a trailer that's been pulled in. One of the things that will be awfully nice about having the redesigned grandstands, and honestly all of the sports that use this area will be able to benefit from it, is to have the viewing tower, to have a place where the officials can meet and watch and judge. That's a permanent building. So I think that both the permanent infrastructure combined with the expertise of the folks who know about the temporary pieces that may need to be added over time, whether that's the temporary grandstands around the arena or the temporary lounge in the stabling area, we now have folks who, again, that's what they do, to bring their expertise to help us. So that's been pretty exciting.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with our members about this bid, Carla?
Well, I would... probably just like folks to know that this is really Maryland's bid. Yes, it's Fairhill International, and yes, we're the 3-day eventing organization that is leading the charge. But the coalition of organizations that have come together, largely through working together on Maryland's horse park system, we've all come together to bring about changes to the infrastructure that we can all benefit from, and it's been loads of fun working with the Steeplechase folks and the Fairhill Races and the Cecil County Fair, and to see so many different, not only equestrian disciplines, but different disciplines that use this area coming together and moving in the same direction has been really exciting. And that combined with having, like I said, the expertise of Populous, which is, the equine architects that did the London equestrian venue, and having the Maryland Sports Commission and the Maryland Stadium Authority as our partners, means that, it's awfully nice for me to know that someone who runs the Army-Navy game and knows how to do a really big event is going to be helping us. as far as the 3-day eventing, we have a lot of history and a lot of knowledge, but growing our event from 15,000 people to, say, 45 and then 60 and then 80,000 people, it's going to be awfully nice to have folks who, again, that's what they do. They organize, plan, and manage these big events, and to all be part of the same team has just been a fantastic experience.
Well, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the program, Carla, and telling us more about your bid for a 4-star, and the very best of luck.
Oh, thanks so much, Chris. It was great talking with you.
And as Carla mentioned, the Fairhill International is part of a larger coalition, which includes the Maryland Sports Commission. And on the line now is their Executive Director, Terry Hasseltine. Terry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, this is very much a partnership, isn't it, that you've come in with all your experience of organising sports on a very large scale. So why don't you give us your short elevator bio so people can understand the size of this project?
Well, I'm currently the executive director of the Maryland of Maryland Sports, which is the association for the state of Maryland. I'm also the vice president of the Maryland Stadium Authority over Marketing and Communications Initiatives. And prior to that, I worked for the Commonwealth of Kentucky, where I was part of Kentucky Sports Authority, which was part of bringing the World Equestrian Games to the Commonwealth along with the Ryder Cup. And prior to that, I worked in the collegiate athletic side of the industry at the NCAA and at the NAI. So have big event experience, been around it pretty much my entire career, and excited to see what we have in store for you here in Maryland should we be awarded the CCI 4-star.
Now, what was it that appealed to you then about this particular project, Terry? I mean, you knew the background with the history, the tradition there of Fairhill International. But what was it that pricked your ears, so to speak, and you felt that this was a project you'd like to take on and, you know, take into the big league, literally?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we have a great organization, the Fairhill International Group, that has been running a 3-star event for close to 25 plus years. We just came off from the Maryland Horse Industry Board of doing a horse park system study for the entire state of Maryland, where it identified Fairhill as the field event zone. And then when the United States Equestrian Federation put out the proposal of interest for pursuing a 4-star, it only seemed natural evolution of what we were trying to do at Fairhill in concert with Fairhill International and what the Horse Industry Board for the state was trying to do from the globalization of the equine sporting industry. It just made sense that Maryland Sports jumped into the game and partnered with the Horse Industry Board as well as Fairhill International and the Department of Resources who owns the land that we're discussing here, and all of our sporting equine sporting professionals throughout the entire state. So it only made sense.
So sketch out for us, if you would then, Terry, who the people are behind this with you.
Well, the lead on our proposal is Fairhill International. The technical expertise and the history of hosting a tremendous competition for 25-plus years now, Gilbert, along with Carla Geisbach, Ann Haller up there on the day-to-day operations of Fairhill International, us Petticord over the Horse Industry Board, myself with the Maryland Sports Commission, our partner Todd Gralla at Paul, who's helped us as part of the Horse Park System Study, and then carrying on doing some of the engineering design studies for what we hope will become the venue of choice for the 4-star event.
Well, this is obviously a very large project to take it up to the next level on an international level and make it 6 4-stars in the world. Right now, we just have the one in the springtime, of course, at the Kentucky mm-hmm. Horse Park. In terms of scheduling for this, what is the time frame, Terry? What do you need as an organization now, an organizing committee, to take this literally to the next level, to ramp it up enough? What resources will you need, and what is the timeline for that?
Well, it's like any major event. You obviously need the green stuff known as money, and we're revving up the philanthropic efforts to raise the capital necessary. The state is moving forward with putting forth its best efforts to secure funds to make sure that the project that needs to come to fruition does come to fruition in time for the fall of 2019. We're working a very aggressive timeline to ensure that Fairhill continues to elevate its portfolio and its exposure over the next several years. Taking the 3-star this year, we're increasing the prize money for the 3-star and the 2-star that happened simultaneously to ensure that the best riders are coming to the 3-star this fall. But we're also revving up the timeline to make sure that every construction project and every study that needs to be done is done in a time frame that meets the USEF's requirements and make sure that our proposal and our team is best equipped and ready to put on a 4-star come the fall of 2019.
So what infrastructure then will be improved, enhanced around Fairhill then to facilitate this, Terry? What do you see that the state has to put in place to accommodate it?
Well, we are looking at a redesign of our turf course. Currently, there's a steeplechase course that is on the grounds that we're discussing. We are redesigning it to lay it out differently so that we can put the main arena inside that turf course, as well as a redevelopment of the grandstand that surrounds the turf course. We're also irrigating the course as well, and then we're also, to help alleviate egress and regress on the grounds, we're putting tunnels on the 273 to make sure that pedestrians can park and walk across to the turf course safely and efficiently. It also connects our world-class training center on the grounds at Bear Hill with the turf course so that we can increase the number of race dates as well as the four-star, as well as giving a better platform for the training center to use the course as well. And over the next 2.5 years, there will be a significant shift on how the grounds at Fair Hill lay now to make sure that it is the best equipped venue to host a four-star, but also for the future of steeplechasing with the National Steeplechase Association calling Fair Hill home. That is very important to us as well.
Well, one of the questions, of course, I'm sure listeners have in mind now when they think of this as a go-to venue, and obviously to go to a four-star event where they may not have attended a three-star there at Fair Hill, Terry, what do they need to know in terms of the accommodations and the convenience of the accommodations and that side of the logistics, if you will, as a visitor?
Well, I think it's really important to know that Bear Hill, even though it is this very pristine rural rolling terrain, up in Cecil County, Maryland, it is quickly accessible off of 95. It's less than 15 minutes off of 95. Amtrak comes down from the north and up from the south to drop off in Newark, Delaware, which is only about 15 minutes away from Bear Hill as well. So very accessible. Sandwiched in between mega media markets in New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and D.C. The experience of the tourists that come in to experience the event, there is lodging right along the I-95 corridor. If you're not looking for your main brand name hotels, there's also a lot of bed and breakfasts in the area as well. So you can get a full scale, 3-, 4-, 5-star hotel, everything to the comfy of the bed and breakfast environment.
Is there anything else, Terry, that you would like to share with our listeners today at this stage in the bid, and what it would clinch it for you, or do you feel that would make it the go-to venue, the one of choice now for this, because it is competitive with the venues that are there out there? What would you like to share with us?
Well, I think when it's all said and done, we think that our proposal that we submitted to the USEF speaks for itself. We feel very confident that the team that we have assembled to carry forth the work set in front of us is a very capable team, a very dynamic team. We feel our ideal location along the Mid-Atlantic corridor is very beneficial. The amount of metro transportation that we have into our region, we have multiple international airports within close proximity. We also have the access to the facility up in New York for quarantine purposes and bringing international riders and horses over from Europe and in other parts of the world. So we feel very fortunate that our proposal speaks volume, our logistics speaks volume, and the team assembled I think is world class. So when it's all said and done, I think Bear Hill is a very dynamic place and a very dynamic venue to host a 4-star event.
Well, it certainly is an interesting competition between the venues themselves. Both, of course, have a very strong bid now to host the 4-star event. So we want to thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the program and wish you the very best of luck with your bid, Terry.
Well, I greatly appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing from the USEF soon.
And there will be links in the show notes accompanying this episode if you'd like to find out more about these two venues at Great Meadow in Virginia and Fair Hill International in Maryland. And that's it for this week's episode. Don't forget you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app so you can listen to the show on the go. And you can also keep up with the latest episodes that will be posted on our Facebook page and on Twitter. Just look for US Eventing. And don't forget to keep up with all the latest news as it happens on the website at useventing.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.